Greetings, kindred witches. Welcome to the Atomic Hearth for this Sunday Haven.
Here we share our experiences as we build a modern-day inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, celestial cycles, and the science of energy.
Join us as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works toward building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us.
Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our grove here at the Atomic Hearth.
As always, we are so grateful for this community and for all of you choosing to spend a portion of your Sunday here with us.
We'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that we are currently here on the lands of the Coast Salish peoples, more specifically, the Duwamish and Muckleshoot tribes. We want to take a moment here to honor the ancestors of the land on which we reside. Thank you.
Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. In this episode, we are continuing our conversation about an air-based witchcraft practice. In part one of air witchery, we mentioned the many different flavors an air-based practice may come in. And while we did a brief overview of each path, we are going to really dig into some of them in a bit more depth during this episode. We fully admit that these are big subjects and there is no way we'll be able to cover everything today. We have, however, divided the content into several easy-to-access episodes. Drifting Way, Atmospheric Path, Ether Way, The Mind Space, Way of Words, and Creator Craft.
Remember, when building a practice and knowing where to get started, the sapling aircrafts provide a foundation, and each wheel turn builds on that foundation, adding more layers, expanding out to include additional elements, and adding skills breath by breath. This eventually culminates in what we call the witch wheel turn.
In the sapling cycle, which you can check out on our sapling playlist for more specifics, we start with the basics of working with air. In the fledging cycle, the practice begins to deepen and broaden. From breath, we move to scent and wind, all the while continuing to build those optional skills in divination and astral work. In ember, it's time to get under the sky, exploring and connecting to the skies above. In the river wheel turn, that might shape into a practice of weather magic and a relationship with the air elementals. Then, as the wheel cycles into witch, it's about both specializing and mixing to find the right air path for you. In today's episode, we discover Creator Craft.
Creator Crafts are a collection of paths found within the air and fire elements that speak to our ability to make and create things, all things. Creator crafts are meant to be diverse and truly applicable to any craft that takes nothing and makes something. In the air element, creator craft is a bit lighter than the toiling crafts of fire. Here, art and bard craft take center stage, with a sound weaver amplifying their airwaves. Pulling on the power of imagination and the muse space to imagine art, an artistic witch builds their skill honing their craft. Ultimately, the artistic witch's work manifests in visual, consumable forms. Think crafts like drawing, painting, sculpting, animation, and other visually focused arts. The artistic witch and the artisan witch found in fire witchery often walk hand in hand in a deeply interwoven path, creating along the way. However, there are also witches who remain uniquely specialized in a more siloed craft, and we wanted to acknowledge that as well. So don't spend too much time thinking about where one becomes the other. It's a very blurry line. The artistic witch will spend most of their time focused on developing their actual artistic craft. That's because it is through that specialty that they connect with, build, and use energy. Which means to get started, explore art forms. Find what ways that you connect with art. And don't let others define what art is. Find art that you connect with that others have created. You know, think from Bob Ross to Banksy. It's all valid and applicable. Ultimately, though, finding ways that the artistic craft and witchcraft interweave will be a strong area of focus. So, for instance, color and light magic, sigil work, musecraft, and, you know, even the often overlooked breathwork. So many artistic tips involve controlling the exhale to control the stroke of the pen or paintbrush. My artistic witch side shows up most commonly in my sigil work, which is still a bit new to me, and in my compendium, where my doodles help illustrate the seasons and such. An artistic witch might weave in divination using their skills to communicate via sketches and doodles, or use their art to mimic a bit of charm magic. Their work may also be the penultimate expression, holding audiences captivated. However, the artist witch isn't the only one to hold audiences captivated with their connection to the air element. Sound weavers have a unique ability to understand and manipulate vibrations of air into beautiful chaos.
A sound weaver specializes in a practice which envelops their spells, spaces, and skill in magic through the making and manipulating of sound. Ringing bells and chimes, playing drums, even guitar or saxophone solos, can all contribute to a tapestry of rippling, audible energy which can channel intent, set a tone and mood for ritualistic application, or even standing your energetic ground. So what magic should you focus on here? For a sound weaver, some breathing techniques may play a big role here, depending on the incorporation of singing or vocal techniques, or instruments powered by breath, like those of the woodwind or brass varieties. But even if breath isn't a factor, other musical instruments may be your focus, or more ceremonial or standalone sound creators like whistles, wind chimes, bells, singing bowls. Using your focus or foci of choice, sound application can structure and support all manner of spell work. Wherever a filling or clearing of air is a step or goal in what you're doing, creating sound to do so can be a fitting solution. Now, for me personally, sound making plays a large role in my practice, specifically through singing, which either takes the form of singing existing music, if it well suits a setting or purpose I have, writing my own words, it's probably most common, to apply to a singable melody, or singing melodies without words, purely using shifts in pitch, volume, and timbre. Now, my voice has always been special to me. I've seen busy videos from my parents of me singing the alphabet as early as 2, or at least trying to. It's my access to freedom, my deepest sense of self, and where I'm most open energetically as I do it. So I sing all the time in my practice. I sing little daily melodies which piece into larger spell songs I'm working on. I sing in the shower as part of power-up or common collect routines. I've added singing to bigger rituals, both in my own and with my growth mates. It's almost always done with word crafting close in mind, with the purpose of transmitting intent and meaning to all who I want to hear me and to all the air around us. And I'm going to limit myself here, as I really could go on and on about singing, but a final point on how I specifically practice is on singing with groups, especially with an entire chorus. Choirs are amazing creators and conduits of energy. Anytime a group connects around a common goal is special, but to then do so in a way that doesn't just fill a space with sound, but in orders of magnitude above that with music, oh boy. I haven't yet had the opportunity, to be fair, to conduct a choir-wide energy raising for driving forward a specific shared intent, but I can tell you the most overwhelming and often overpowering magical moments in my life have been while singing with a choir. I felt firsthand moments that have achieved such an unexpected level of synchronicity that it felt honestly supernatural. Now, for resources, tips, or trick for the sound creator, if you love to sing and use your voice like me, then join a choir, take some voice lessons. While there's no requirement to sound good to use your voice for magical means, skills like breath capacity and control, singing in and understanding keys, and even some know-how in musical theory will both build your confidence and make your vocal technique more precise and flexible. Given we're talking about the energy sound creates, the quality of the frequencies and harmonics of the sounds your voice is making will inevitably translate into magical results with less noise or variance. Now, if you're not using your voice, try out all kinds of sound-making tools to play with the results they give you. Vibrations and frequencies are incredibly personal in how they affect us. Specifically for me, bells are actually quite challenging for me to work with, for whatever reason. Their ringing, even quietly, can be powerful and leave me feeling exposed or unsteady. So because of this, I haven't yet delved into working with them, but I do plan to soon. I love learning about how sound energy connects and affects everything around it. And it's always healthy to learn more about things outside your comfort zone. Now, as far as practicing sound crafting publicly or privately, the thing about sound is other people can hear it. So you certainly can make sound quietly, but especially if the goal is the creation and transferring of energy, and you're looking for effective results, being inhibited won't serve you that well. Now that said, practicing working with sound in your magic is definitely a world that can be enjoyably shared with others. You know, singing aside, if you've never heard a bell choir, seek out a performance. You'll be in for a treat. Attending, listening to, and participating in musical or other sound-driven productions is a wonderful way to give your ears and mind a lot of variety to consider for your own practice and to apply things you're working on. Privately, sound work can still have a place as a quiet and subtle art. While this might limit the scale of your impact, it could well fit something simple in a daily routine or meditation practice. And a car is an effective sound booth if you need one in a pinch.
As Jay mentioned, a sound weaver craft holds so much potential because it also covers so many different ways that we can encounter sound. A good reminder that sound on a rudimentary level is vibrations that travel through air. Whether we are vibrating our vocal cords, the skin of a drum, or the tin of a bell, vibrations carry through the air, communicating out into the world, creating impact. And a good reminder on safety when playing with sounds, not only in volume, but pitch as well. The idea of cracking glass isn't totally a myth, and your eardrums are a bit more sensitive than your ordinary wine glass. Sound weavers don't just make sound, though. There is some credit here to be had for all those sound engineers, musical producers, audio editors, and the like, who shape a craft based on the concept of manipulating, synthesizing, recording, and combining sound waves to create, especially with the use of technology. One of my favorite parts of editing the podcast is actually seeing sound waves visualized. It's truly amazing to then think of how sounds and vibrations that we can't hear go on to impact our world. So many of Earth's creatures have perfected this craft, emitting and creating sound waves and vibrations as communication tools, not just creation tools. I also really like to use singing and sound as a way to impact my nervous system during a specific spell working. From instruments to white noise and other tonal frequencies, I find this sound has a big impact on how I physically feel in any given space. It's a good reminder that sounds come in so many different variations that don't limit yourself here. Sound is an amazing and accessible way to connect with the air element, even for those with auditory issues. Feeling the sound vibrations is just as potent.
Ash and Jay covered so much, so I'll just add a bit of personal perspective here. I use sound as a tool in my overall practice, rather than focusing on it as a path, and I typically employ it in the aid of energy work. I'll use sound to clear out negative energy, to release energy, to build energy, or to break up stagnant energy. The sources of these sounds include bells, chimes, drumming, clapping, humming or whistling or singing, or even stomping. The tone, tempo, and volume vary depending on what my intentions are. If I'm raising energy, I may start at a slow speed and grow faster and faster. If I'm breaking up stagnant energy, I'll make loud, sudden sounds. It's honestly fun to play around with and see what effects are caused by the vibrations you're producing. As mentioned in episode 87, Music, Song, Word, and Spell, I also utilize sound via music in my practice, even if I'm not the one creating it. I use it to set a space or a mood, to underscore spell work, or to just provide a little inspiration. I highly recommend giving this episode a listen if you're curious about weaving music into practice. For me, when I think of using song to weave magic and captivate an audience, I instantly picture that classic bard archetype.
As do I. And that brings us perfectly into our grand finale. At least, that's what a bard witch might call it. Ah, yes, the bard witch. Their practice revolves around creating and telling stories, adding some fire in the mix for both creativity and passion, and air to carry your stories in enchanting and beguiling ways. This combination is a powerful one, one where all sorts of magics might play a role in conveying a narrative, reinforcing specific intent via a story's themes and compelling moments. And so the real magic of this practice is in the performance aspect. You might also be creating or writing stories that you tell, but you'll most certainly be conveying them to another or others, and in your performance, capturing and working with the combination of your own energy and that of your captive audience. As mentioned in our overview episode of Air Witchery, given the nature of connecting with others in this practice, bar witches are often a blend of a few areas of study. And of that, I'd say charm witches, activist witches, and hearth witches are good examples. Also, any of the interconnected path, which we'll talk more about in the detail of our fire witchery episodes. As far as what magics that you should focus on here, given the combination of elemental influences here, rich with both fire and air, a bard witch will incorporate any and all kinds of magic to enhance a performance's sensory aspects and to enhance the space itself. So that's probably going to include and not be limited to the use of music and song, word magics, color and light, herbs and scent magic, movement and dance, wind, flame, sun, moon, and of course the use of charm magic. Offstage, but preparing for it, as any performer knows, every successful performance is the result of countless focused rehearsals. So meditation, astral work, and more reflective and solitary magics may shape your work in preparation for or in reflection after the performances that you are sharing. Now, for me personally, I tell stories in both my work and personal life. So bard witch practice has been applicable in multiple mediums and styles. In all cases, though, whether I'm crafting a sales pitch or a presentation to an important decision maker, delivering a monologue to rally the heroes in my D&D campaign, or aiming to transfix an audience on my character or the message being expressed in community theater performance, these are all ripe ways I've found application for this type of magical work. As for resources here, I highly recommend reading books and other resources on different storytelling formats and narrative structures. You know, so much of the lessons and advice in those guides stand on the shoulders of countless performers and creators who have learned through experience how to tap into and conjure through the hearts and minds of an audience. And of course, reading, watching, and listening to lots of stories for inspiration and guidance is always a valuable and enjoyable exercise. If you want practice telling stories, local theater or other performance groups are a great way to get started, or even storytelling at local libraries that organize story time hours for kids. You know, it never hurts to give back a bit and get to practice a skill at the same time. Now, as for practicing this publicly or privately, to be a bard is to be sharing with others. So this study lends itself to the public domain. But that said, when it comes to working with and certainly influencing the energy of others, it's best to be a bit careful. Bardcraft is about gentle influence, drawing out that extra bit of sorrow or humor to help an audience connect with the story on a personal level, or even to help get your client to see your side of an idea. This can be an emotionally triggering practice, so bring these efforts with some limitations in mind, and be prepared to let go or adjust your course if it feels like you're pushing a bit too far. And privately, it's worth adding, stories can be just as significant to you and you alone, sometimes more so than with any other, so don't hold back just because you don't have an audience yet, or are simply rehearsing on your own. Bard witchery is also a great practice to explore at all levels of scale. You know, at its largest, the Taylor Swifts of the world connect with millions to feel and react in profound and even deeply personal ways. Or politicians choose their words and stories to share to win massive swaths of support. But this is most certainly not your everyday scale. Even below the more relatable fields of community theater and sales pitches, though, storytelling and its possibilities can be super useful on the micro scale. Think little stories of small talk with strangers or work colleagues, small tales you tell your kids or friends to give them a little hope, a little joy, a little humor, or even the ones you only tell yourself. Storytelling in your own journal and reading it to yourself can be a delightful and totally private way to wax creatively and enhance your stories in magical, meaningful ways to shape your own mood and thoughts to the aim of your intent.
There are so many ways bard witchery can show up and be utilized. And for me, most strongly in my life, I have found an avenue for it through acting, specifically in theater. Sure, you can get up on a stage and say the words and feel the feelings, but there really is an art to charming an audience and weaving your energy into your performance. I find it gives an extra layer of depth and substance. I think about the performers I've watched over my life, and the ones that really stick out in memory have an absolutely commanding presence that you just feel drawn into like a magnet. You can't help but be totally carried away into the story they're telling. As a performer, you can consciously use this kind of weaving or energy work, and just like the craft itself, it requires practice and effort to master. This type of bard witchery brings in charm magic and combines it with word craft. So if you're an actor and you want to try integrating your witchcraft into your art, make those focuses a regular part of your practice. I would also add in there energy work and meditation and mindfulness. The more aware you are of energy and the energy you bring to things, the better you can use it as a tool.
Bardcraft, like other creative crafts, really require the focus on developing the skill of the bard, however that manifests for you. Like Jay mentioned, bardcraft is also found along the fire witch path because of how deeply interwoven bardcraft is with fire-based creator crafts like movements and performance. Even the power of the voice is amplified by the fire and breath of the gut. For me, bardcraft really focuses on storytelling in all forms, whether it's through casual community conversation and story sharing or through more performative means. Storytelling and bardcraft bring people together, making it a great craft to weave into community building. Whether it's a skill you bring to the table or a connection you build, you'll never regret bringing a bard into your grove. Their mere craft asks that we gather around the hearth.
Creator crafts are a collection of paths found within the air and fire elements that speak to our ability to make and create things. All the things. While the two elements are woven together in this path, there are distinct paths where the air element holds a little more sway. Artist, sound weaver, and bard witches are just a few of those examples.
And while some crafts may come more naturally than others, like all things, practice will always improve skill, even innate skill. That's why the elements are recurring themes across the witch's wheel cycles. It's a consistent building upon skill and relationship.